I'd like to reconvene the February 2011 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is item number 10, public comments. This is an opportunity for those in the audience that wish to be heard by the members of the commission on matters that are not on the agenda. Mr. James, yes, sir, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Bowen.
Good to see you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir.
Ms. Bowman, members of the commission, I know that part of this is not in your jurisdiction, but I wanted to make sure that each of you knows what's happening and the potential impact on oysters in Lynn Haven Inlet. We've spent a lot of time and effort, as you know, trying to bring cleanliness to the Lynn Haven, but especially to bring back the oysters. If you have not seen the Sunday Virginian Pilot, what's with the traffic jam on our waters? Blame it on coal. It's a huge article, front page, back page. We now have approximately 15 to 20 ships sitting there, and my concern is that out of every group of ships, you always have somebody, unfortunately, who is going to try to sneak bilge discharge illegally and irresponsibly.
Right.
And that could lead to damage to the restoration effort in Lynn Haven Inlet. We know that this morning this happened. Norfolk Southern is going to bring jobs to Virginia. Yay. However, 1,500 coal cars means that there's going to be a significant ramp up over the next year, year and a half, to try to deal with the reason that there is this backup in the bay.
Mm-hmm.
The backup in the bay is occurring simply because China, India, other nations are demanding more and more coal, and this is metallurgic coal, as I understand it. We have a situation that could impact us here in Hampton Roads. Additionally, because in Australia you know about the horrendous floods and environmental damage that's been done there, and it may impede their contribution to the world coal market.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to be sure that the commission was aware of all of this. I would urge you to, and I believe that the Coast Guard is on the job. Mr. O'Brien had indicated to me earlier when we were talking on break that he saw yesterday when he went up the Eastern Shore the Coast Guard boats out there and so on. So I don't think that we're in a situation where nobody's doing anything at all to protect us. However, I would urge the commission to use its influence to urge the appropriate agencies to redouble their efforts in view of what's happening. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Tony, did you want to address the ballast water reporting requirements in the Commonwealth of Virginia? Just very, very briefly, pursuant to 28.2, 109, 110, and 111.
A number of years ago, they adopted a requirement that ballast water reports be filed with the commission, and we adopted a regulation that required ballast water reports to be filed for ships that just come into Virginia ports. If ships transit Virginia ports, they don't have to file a report. And if they come from another U.S. port, they don't have to file reports. But if they come from overseas, they file a report. Those reports get forwarded on to the federal ballast water reporting office up in Maryland. So we just accept the reports and forward them on to the federal government. But I do think, in reality, there's a number of new federal initiatives underway to more effectively manage ballast water and require some treatment of ballast water that's not really directly related to our regulation. We require voluntary compliance with ballast water regulations, but not specific regulatory requirements, and that's occurring at the federal level.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it. On the radar, it's one of those ones that's probably not a perfect regulation or whatever. It requires self-reporting, but nonetheless, we are exercising due diligence pursuant to our duties. But your point, as always, well made. Thank you, Mr. James. You. Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir. Yes, sirs. Come forward.
My name's Randy Birch.
Birch, how are you?
Chris Cuno, Shinkatig.
Chris?
We want to address the board about some concerns about the horseshoe crab industry.
Is that what you discussed a little bit with me, Rick?
Yeah. Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. The just in short, if I may preface this, originally we had an agenda item on today's agenda that related to requesting a public hearing that might modify possession limits or other specifications related to the horseshoe crab fishery. And that responds to concerns that have evolved over the last few years within the fishery, where the directed dredge fishery has developed the capacity to catch a large number of crabs in a short period of time, and that has resulted in premature closures to the hand harvest fishery and the other sectors. So, for example, the pound net fishery, the incidental bycatch fishery, et cetera, and that has been a concern that's developed over the last few years. And I think staff's well aware of that, and they had already proposed to consider some changes. But that item's not on the agenda today, but these gentlemen came down from Shinkatig. And so perhaps we can hear from them and then hear from Jack Travelstead about what staff's thinking.
That'd be great. Yes, sir.
Well, we're asking the board to maybe consider separating the quotas from the hand harvesters. Instead of having one state quota for the dredgers, hand harvesters, pine netters, and other incidental catches, to maybe separate it and give everybody a fair shake. We don't want to take anything away from anybody.
Right.
But hand harvesters is allowed 500 crabs per day. Some of these dredgers are allowed 5,000. So theoretically, it would take me, I'm speaking for other hand harvesters, of course, 10 days, just simple arithmetic, to pick up as many in the most primitive way you can do it, with your hands bending over, picking them up, throwing them in the boat.
Right.
To catch as many as it would a dredger in one day. And like I said, we're not trying to step on anybody's toes or point any fingers at anything, but
just want equal opportunity.
Well, we'd like to see if we could get something done about the quota. Maybe having the hand harvesters have its own quota separate from the dredgers and the pine netters, just so the dredgers, like I said, it's just stands to reason, can catch a lot more crabs in one day than someone picking them up with their hands. Just so that the season don't close prematurely. We just want our fair share. I don't know what the ratio would be, but I'm picking these crabs up. Like I said, I don't mean to be stepping on nobody's toes or anything. When I'm picking these crabs up, I come to a small, immature male or female. I won't pick that crab up.
Dredge picks it up.
When the dredge don't know when to pick it up.
Right.
The dredge picks it all up. When you pull that dredge aboard, whatever you throw back overboard, probably half or two-thirds of that is drowned. They're not trying to kill these small crabs or fish. I mean, that's just the way it is.
On a good day, in a productive area, how much can you pick up as far as when you're hand harvesting?
There's a lot of days we don't catch 500. Mm-hmm. Usually you have to do it on the high tide,
right,
high water, after dark.
Right.
First of the ebb tide.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of days we don't catch 500. Then there's probably a lot of days the dredgers don't catch their 5,000. But if the quota is all in one basket here, it just stands to reason, you know. But we just want to get away from the dredgers being it.
They're putting us out of business in a matter of days. I mean, last year I think we had a 21-day season. We've already hand harvested through the beginning of August, you know. But since these draggers got these big licenses and they're allowed to go out and bring in 5,000 a day, it doesn't take long to hit Virginia's quota of 152,000 or. It doesn't take long at all.
I see your point. Let me, Jack, did you, Mr. Travelstead, do you want to comment on that if you could, please? I'd certainly sympathize with you, understand where you're coming from.
We had originally, as Rick said, had an item on this month's agenda, looking at some other issues with respect to Mission Crabs, and then we began to hear comments through the grapevine about interest in developing separate gear-based quotas. And that's why we pulled the agenda item from this month, rather than coming to you with one set of items and then coming back next month with another set and having to go through this twice.
Right.
Let's have a meeting with the industry. We've not done that in quite a while. And hear their, all of their concerns, then come back to you at the March meeting, hopefully with a plan that everybody can agree with and ask for a public hearing in April. So this is something that staff is interested in. You will be getting a letter in the mail shortly asking you to come to an industry meeting here in this room on March 8th at 6 o'clock, where we hopefully can work out some of the details. I'm hopeful that we can do that in time for the March meeting. It may take a couple of meetings with industry and everybody on board.
Well, I don't think he's asking for anything that doesn't sound fair and reasonable to me. I guess it's kind of like the difference between farming by hand and farming with a 14-row combine. Kind of makes the playing field a little.
How you allocate the resources will be such a small quota.
Yeah.
150,000 crabs. They'll actually be smaller this year because of the overages from last year.
Okay. Sound good?
Sounds good. I don't know how the board or the committee or whatever would say, you know, hand harvesters get 30%, or I don't know how that would be done either.
We'll have some ideas for you when you come on March 8th.
Past reports seems like would be a way to go, but that wouldn't be a fair shake either. I mean,
no, we've had some issues in reporting in that fishery, as I recall.
Yeah.
The way capped out so early that the hand harvesters don't get their fair share to catch enough to show it.
Understood.
It'll be an exciting meeting on Monday.
We'll figure it out.
Excuse me.
Hold on just a minute, gentlemen. Mr. Tankard, you have a question?
Since it is a limited resource, obviously, and I'm hearing there's some discard issues, or will we address some of that as well? It seems like the hand harvesters have ability to take which is good and legal, and the dredge folks aren't able to do so.
I don't know how much... direct control, absent exclusion devices and things like that. They can do the very best they can, but that device is going to pick up what it's going to pick
sure,
up.
Sure, I just
but
the
certainly
dynamics,
look at
I
certainly look at it from the overall catch perspective.
Right.
Mr. Robbins,
thank you, Steve. Well, to that point, back when some research was done with mobile gear on damage and mortality in some of the mark recapture studies that Dave Smith did, I think the number of documented injured crabs was on the order of 12%. That was using mobile dredges. So it's not a remarkably high figure. But I would just point out that the dredge fishery is an important component of today's fishery in the state. So obviously they would be included in the meeting. And I assume staff will be reaching out to all the different sectors as you go forward in doing this. But we have had a continuing challenge with constraining the catch within the quota. And so, you know, some of these ideas hopefully would allow us to improve the control over the catch and make sure that we don't exceed the quota but come close to attaining it, which I think is in our interest collectively. But the idea, at least here, would be to set something up so that one sector is not affecting the other, and there are a number of different ways to do that, I'm sure, and we look forward to the outcome of your staff and industry meeting.
Good enough.
Yeah, well, we're not trying to take anything away from the dredger either. Sure. I mean, we're all trying to make a living. We're all trying to work on the water. At one time or another, one's going to need the other for something, and we don't want to step on anybody's toes. We don't want to put anybody out of work, or we just think that it would be to probably everybody's benefit at one time or another, including the horseshoe crab themselves, if we had a separate quota.
I believe in your sincerity. Thanks a lot. We'll work on it.
Thank you all.
Y'all have a good day. Thank you very much. Anyone else wish to be heard? Public comments?